You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
Yeah, speaking of early... Yeah, speaking of early, next time you feel like dialing the phone, like, don't, just say no, okay?
Come on, man, I couldn't wait to talk to you.
I gotta stop the music. I just need okay. to, I need to finish something up, from the last segment.
A few
text messages. Everything Hagel says about Trump, I would say about Obama. Decisive, more dangerous world, make government work, compromise. Screw him. These are all text messages. U.S. position diminished? Ask ISIS. Ask the president of South Korea. So, yeah, Chuck Hagel. Chuck Hagel in the news. So, anyway, now hold on. Back to the program. Alright, now it's been 2 weeks since we talked to you. How you doing, man? Kim Holmes, the All Marine Radio head chef, joins us. Talk to me.
Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, good morning.
I'm doing just great. I scare myself sometimes. Of course, with the wind chill, it's 30 below zero here.
Is it?
So,
Wow. I was going to say it sucks. It sucks here because it's only going to be 73 today. We were hoping for a little bit.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, I know. We were hoping for a little bit warmer temperatures, but we'll suck it up. Yeah. We'll take one for the team, just like you are.
Yeah, that's the way we roll.
Exactly. I'm not selfish like that. More of that Arctic air. Really? Yeah. Make it stop.
Bring it on? Come on. It's just nothing. You know, it's just another day closer to May 1st. That's how I roll all winter. Just another day closer to May 1st. So, yeah, it's okay.
All right, so nobody to blame but yourself. Okay,
that's true.
So let's talk about you're not a man who's afraid of a wager. How'd you do in the Super Bowl?
I did really, really well. I let the guy I bet with, we call him Disco because that's what I call him. But I always let him choose because he picks the team and I call it the disco factor because he always picks the freaking loser. Not all the time, but a good 80% of the time. So I said, go ahead, Ron, you pick who you want. He says, well, I'll take New England. I said, well, then you give me the 4.5 points and I'll take Philly. And look at what happened. Bingo, bango, bongo. I did well. It was a fun bet. And we do the side bets, like coin toss.
Oh, you do.
Who won
that?
The coin flip, and New England won that. But that was about it. Who would think that they'd pass for over 1,000 yards? Brady passed for 520 yards and three touchdowns and still didn't win.
how pissed is he?
Oh, I would imagine that he's really upset because, they didn't have a defense worth a shit. But that's the way it rolls. And then when they did a trick play, Brady dropped his pass. And Foles.
Well, I won't say he dropped it.
Touchdown.
I know, but Brady, that ball was, it would have been a good catch if he made it. Okay, he's not a wide receiver. The ball was a little bit high in his defense.
What a, are you kidding me?
Wait, so it wasn't, so wait a minute. So it wasn't actually your skill. It was that the guy you bet with picked bad and you benefit from it? That's what we're talking about here?
Yeah. And so I have bragging rights until next year, and I get to rub it in. I call him up in the middle of the night once in a while and say, hey, where's my money? And not often, but, I do it at least once after the Super Bowl. He tells me to F off and slams the phone down and goes back to bed. But yeah, and he does the same to me when Houston won the World Series.
What was the most interesting side bet that you saw that had to do with the Super Bowl?
The most interesting side bet was who had the most penalties, and there was only one in the whole game. Offside.
There was one.
That was one
penalty in the whole game.
Yeah. One penalty in the whole game.
That's amazing.
That was an offside, that part was kind of amazing. There weren't a lot of fumbles.
Okay, but, we're not doing that. We're talking.
One fumble cost New England the game.
It doesn't matter. I didn't watch it. So I'm just curious about your betting. We're going to talk a bit about Valentine's Day today.
Sweethearts.
Most people go out to eat on Valentine's Day. Yes. Or no?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about that.
Most people will go out to eat and they usually have a favorite restaurant.
Right, and they pick it and drop down
big bucks for a romantic dinner.
Right. Hold on. I have just basic question. You were a restaurateur for how many years?
I was in the business over 50 years. I was an owner operator for about 35 years.
Okay. What holiday fills up your book fastest? Valentine's Day's got to be up there.
Valentine's Day, hands down, Valentine's Day.
Oh, really? That fills up your book the fastest?
At my joint in Grand Forks, North Dakota, it filled up pretty much a month out.
Wow.
And there were a few cancellations with couples that got into a tizzy, but there was a waiting list, and I called them and filled it up. I never had an empty seat on Valentine's Day, and usually I'd be full the day before Valentine's Day and the day after Valentine's Day.
Wow.
So
as people sought to say, hey, we can't get there on the 14th, but we're going to go the night of the 13th, and we'll play it forward. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Interesting. Okay, so your advice to anybody that's going out for Valentine's Day, make reservations. If you haven't made them yet, make them right now.
And you can make it a month out. You can make it 2 weeks out. You wait any longer than 2 weeks out.
We're five days.
It's a crapshoot.
Okay.
So, it's just, I would recommend going out a couple of weeks. It's already a couple, less than a week. You'd better call right now, today, before the weekend. Period.
Period.
And have backup restaurants.
Okay.
And
yeah,
make sure you have three restaurants that you both agree on so you can go down the line and get a seat.
Okay. Bottom line, though, is if you're going out and you don't have a reservation yet, you better get on that stuff today, right? Like right now, this morning.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So that's if you're going out. But what Kim and I, when he woke me up in the middle of the night here a little bit ago, what we wanted to talk about was Valentine's Day is not just a merchandise grab. Okay. Valentine's Day is about effort, right, and thought. Okay. So.
Right.
So. If you want to make dinner, we're going to give you a course of action that is going to be man-centric in terms of its executability, okay? And it's going to be full of thought, and it's going to be effort. But it's not going to be crazy effort. It's everything you can do, and all you have to do is cook dinner, okay? You got to go to the store, you know, you have to put flowers in a vase or a vase. Whatever you want to call it, my mom would
vase or vase.
My
potato,
mom,
potato.
Exactly, and so that's what we're going to talk about today is thought, effort, good Valentine's Day. Keep you out of the doghouse, dodging a bullet on Valentine's Day. Okay, so let's talk about it. Let's talk about setting up the table. Really, flowers is the big thing, right? So you can go by your florist, you can go by the grocery store. There's flowers all over the place, and go get a bunch of flowers, right? You should know her favorite.
My recommendation is a large bouquet of flowers, and then buy one long stem rose to place on her plate when she sits down.
Oh.
So when she walks in and sees the dinner table, there's a rose, a single rose, that's all. You don't need a gazillion roses because your dinner costs less than that, a dozen roses. But you have to just really show that you're thinking about this. And so you have a nice bouquet of fresh flowers on the table in a vase or vase, and that sits not in the middle of the table because you want to see her. You want to glare. You want to gaze.
Well, you might glare. You might be glaring. Hopefully not.
I've been there a couple of times. I'm so lucky. I can't stop staring.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Some advice though. If you're getting the glare, go ahead and move the flowers.
Yeah.
You could look around them. You don't need to be glared out the whole dinner. So yeah, that's what the flowers.
No, but what you're doing is you're eating your meal. You're having a conversation. You want to look at the person and be talking to them, not talking around a bowl of flowers.
Yeah, okay.
So they should be off to one side. You on the table, you have two candlesticks on each side of the center of the table. And so you have some candlelight. You have a linen napkin, and you have a wine glass or a wine and champagne glass, however you want to do that.
All of this stuff is in your house. Okay.
Everything is in your house.
Yeah, it's all in your house.
Set the table.
Yeah, just go look for it.
And you have it set before she comes through the door. That's paramount. So she knows right away, oh, he's serious. He's got game. And that's how we want to roll. And once you do that.
Done.
Okay.
Okay. So you hold on. So now you set the table up. You've got her flowers in a big bouquet. You got the rose on the plate, right? Everything. That's as much effort as it takes. That's got to be, you know, a stop at the florist, or you can even get them at, as I said, most grocery stores sell them now. And then after you do that, it's coming home and it's getting the plates out, the cloth napkins, and you only need two of them. Okay?
Yeah.
Right? And it's throwing the flowers in a vase and throwing some water in there. Boom, that's at least 5 minutes of work. Not including the stop at the florist. Okay?
Yes. All right.
So now let's talk about the meal. It's we're going to give you a guy friendly meal that is pretty simple to make but tastes great. Yes?
Yes. Now I have prepared today a 4-course meal.
Oh.
Yes. 4 courses that are lickety split easy. Do you want me to start with the course number one?
Yeah. Well, give us all 4 courses and then we'll go into them.
Shrimp cocktail to start the dinner.
Yeah. Delicious. Then, easy as hell to do. Okay. So we shrimp to what?
And the cocktail sauce can be made the day ahead. In fact, it's better to do so.
We're buying it.
Then we have a wedge salad.
Easy.
That's a quarter of a head of head lettuce. On a chilled, you have to chill your salad plate.
That's
okay?
Too much. I don't
that's
know. Yeah. I don't know that that's going to work. Chilling plates. That's, okay.
Yes,
I hear you, but.
I'm just telling you. You chill your salad plate. Then you, pull that out of the fridge. Put the wedge on it, or you can have the wedge already on the salad plate in the fridge. And then whatever dressing you want, whether it's thousand, blue cheese, and then you ladle that, a ladle of the dressing across from one side of the wedge to the other side of the wedge. And so you have green head lettuce on both sides. If you don't want to do that, you can buy mixed green. You have that in a salad bowl in the fridge. You pull that out. You have your dressing pre-made. You can toss that right away and then plate it on the salad plate at the table if you want to get fancy. But I think you go with the wedge.
Okay. Yeah, the wedge sounds easiest, you know. You cut it. And it looks good too. It looks good on a plate, right? You don't have all that loose lettuce. The wedge looks nice.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, the wedge looks nice and tight. If we're doing wedge, a wedge of what kind of lettuce?
I like head lettuce. In fact, that's what I do.
Okay.
When I served wedges in the restaurant, and it's an old thing from the 50s and 40s that has come back in the last 20 years. 15 years, and I brought it back to the Grand Forks. Nobody served the wedge, and that's what I used to eat as a kid. Anyway, it's a good, gorgeous presentation.
Okay, so we got the head of lettuce. We cut 2 wedges. We throw them on a chilled plate or not, and then that's course number 2. So far. I think we're up to at least, we're buying the shrimp, we're buying the cocktail sauce. For you foodies out there, you can make the cocktail sauce. But for the rest of us, we're buying it, okay? And we're just going to dump that into a little, into some kind of little dish and put it in the center, put the shrimp around that. That goes out, all right? Before we go any further, what are we drinking?
Yeah.
All right, we're just drinking our favorite wine, right?
I want to back it up and say the shrimp you buy, you want the largest shrimp you can buy.
Yeah.
They have peeled, deveined, and pre-cooked shrimp in the freezer section, and you want to buy something 16 to 20 count per pound. That's the kind of shrimp I used at Sanders, which you love. And if you can get them bigger, do it. But anyway, to start out with booze, you can depend. I like to start with, if you're going to have two wines,
No. You always told me just drink your favorite wine, right?
Yes, yes. Well, if for me it would be a red wine, and that's what I would start with.
Okay, I don't like that. I don't like that. You drink your favorite wine, right? You know your wife. You know what she's like, or your girl. You know what she likes.
Yeah.
Give her what she likes.
Absolutely.
Okay. And again, I'm just, that's Kim's advice to me. Cause I told him once, somebody gave me a bad time cause I liked his house wine. Oh, Mac, you don't know anything about wine, but he goes, hey, screw them. You drink what you like, what tastes good to you. Oh, it's not. It's,
I always went out to a table when they wanted to know about wines, and I asked them very first, what do you like to drink? Well, I like white wine, but I'm having a steak tonight, so drink white wine. What do you like? God damn it, you're paying the money. Drink what you want to drink. Don't worry about what wine should be drank.
Screw that.
Okay.
What's that guy, the sommelier?
Good, yes. Perfect pronunciation.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you go stand in the corner. Give me a glass of the house of Kim's house wine. Give me two of them.
Yeah.
I like that stuff. But, all right, so we got the booze is easy. So, So we're checking that out. Interesting. Okay. All right, so now we got the shrimp cocktail going. We got the wedge salad takes us at least 90 seconds to get ready. Okay, what's course number three? This is awesome, man.
This is the big kahuna.
Okay.
We're going to have a filet mignon.
Okay, let me ask you this. Hold on. So she and I are going to sit down and eat the salad, but I've got to cook the steak too. How does that work?
Well, what you do is you cook the steak, you wrap it in foil and sit it in a warm spot on the stove. Medium rare.
Okay, I already
wrapped in foil.
Hold on. I already don't like this idea because we're letting the steak sit. But, is the steak sitting while we're sitting down with eating salad? Is that how that's working?
But what I would do.
Yeah.
Okay. You're cooking dinner.
Yes.
You want a fresh steak. And as you should. And so you make this an adventure. You have your shrimp cocktail, your salad, and then you cook the filet.
Okay.
Right. You cook it on the...
All right. I'm with you. I just didn't know the sequencing of it in terms of, like, the choreography of the evening.
Because then you bring your wine, and you go into the kitchen, and you have a cast iron skillet on the grill, unless you want to grill it.
Right.
If you live where you can go outside and grill.
Right. Like most of us do.
That's got to be on high. And a little olive oil rub.
Hold
on.
No. We're not going into the recipe yet. So we're going to go in there, and now she's going to come in the kitchen with me. We're going to be chit-chatting and talking, right?
Yeah.
And talk about what a great Valentine's Day this is and what an awesome guy that I am. Right. And so then I'm going to be cooking. Let's talk about the next phase of this meal. What are we going to eat in this next phase? And we'll talk about all the different things. So we're going to have, you're going to recommend filet mignon, right? But it should be her favorite steak. Yes.
Her favorite steak, whatever it is. And if she's not a steak person, If she wants salmon, then that's what you cook. And you cook it the same way, on a cast iron skillet on top of the stove, and cooking it takes a few minutes.
Okay.
Does not take long.
Okay.
Salmon will be maybe
salmon, what?
2 to 3 minutes a side. You flip it once, then you plate it, you put your potato on.
Okay, hold on,
asparagus.
Hold on. You're moving too fast. So it's going to be her favorite, either meat, fish, or chicken. It's her favorite, right? Because remember, this is Valentine's Day. You're doing it for her. All right, we're going to cook a filet mignon, though. All right, now what else are we having with this? Are we having baked potato?
We are.
Okay. All right, so we'll talk about
baked
potato.
Baked potato.
Hold on. And then what else? Are we having a vegetable with it, or did the salad count?
We have asparagus.
Okay. All right, so let's start. This is just a refresher for everybody because recipes we've done, all of them. So asparagus, tell us about how we prepare an asparagus, and then we'll move to the baked potato. See, this is easy as hell. And all you're doing is just crushing it, right? Just crushing it.
That's what you're doing. That's our goal. Now, when you cook the asparagus, you steam it lightly. Now, you don't want to overcook the asparagus because you don't want a limp weenie. What you want is you want it firm. You want the asparagus to be stiff, but be able to cut through with a fork. And you want just a wee bit of snap to it, and you want to keep the vibrant green of asparagus. Now, what you can do, if you would like, I happen to like asparagus cooked ahead of time, dropped in ice water right away when it's done, and that retains its color, and then I pat it dry and put it in the fridge.
Ice water?
When you just listen to me.
Okay.
When you pull it out, you put it in the microwave for about 20 seconds.
Whoa! Stop! Did you just say microwave to me?
Well, I'm trying to make it easy.
Oh, okay.
That's all. But I eat it.
Let me just tell you something, folks. He and I have done cooking shows for going on 18 years,
he has never in
that entire period of time said the word microwave except when I brought it up and he was yelling at me.
Yeah, that's true. I just want you to return the favor.
All right. All right, let me get out of your way. I just was shocked. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Keep going.
That is if you want. I'm trying to make this easy.
Yeah, I'm with you, bro. I'm with you, bro.
And so if you have the asparagus pre-done, and when you plate it, you put fresh cracked black pepper and a little Parmesan, grated Parmesan cheese on it, and that's all you need to do. If you have a hot filet, you have a hot baked potato, and your baked potato, you can start before she gets there. And the way we do it in our homes, yours and mine, we rub it with olive oil, put sea salt on it, the bigger chunk sea salt, and sit it on a tray in the oven and bake it for 50 to 60 minutes, depending on the size of the baked potato. And then you have your butter that's been sitting on the counter that's soft. You have chopped chives or the green from the ends of the green onions chopped up real fine, and then sour cream. Those can all be set in little bowls that you can put on the table and you can put whatever you want on your own baked potato. Okay? And then when the potato is just about done, when it is done and you pull it out, you sit it you pull the tray out because the tray's still hot. You sit it on the back of the stove, then you cook your steak.
Okay, hold on.
And by the time you get the steak done,
one caveat. Remember, you know how she likes her baked potato. Okay, so, you know, Kim's giving general guidance, but we all know that if she is a butter girl or a sour cream and bacon and chives, remember, this is about her. She is the target. Okay, so whatever she loves, have it in little bowls and have it ready for her so she can.
Absolutely. And the bacon should be cooked before she even gets there and diced up so it's little pieces and it's crisp. It's not soggy. And that can all be done ahead. So what we're doing is very simple. Even though this is the entree, you want to have the filet fresh and warm. And that's what you do. And when you go to the butcher store or the supermarket, you have center cut filet, an inch and a half to 2 inches thick. You want to have the filet weigh between 7 and 8 ounces. Okay?
Right.
Or if she's a delicate flower, 6 ounces. So yours is 2 inches thick, hers is an inch and a half thick.
Okay.
And you have it.
Right. And you, again, this is general guidance. You know her taste. And,
yes.
And then again, you can cook that on the stove. Again, easy. Or you can, in a frying pan, and you can, or you can grill it, whatever you prefer.
And if you're grilling
it's easy.
You know, same as at the stove. You take your wine with you. You fill your glasses up before you start cooking so you can chat and talk. And it's all part of bringing her into the show. But you are the workhorse. She doesn't lift a finger. You do everything for her. That's the key to the highway, folks.
Okay. All right. So everybody can see, you know, the flowers go on, the table gets set. That's 5-10 minutes of work. All right. The wedge salad gets made. Then there's another 5 minutes you have invested into this. Then it's cut the asparagus. All right. And then you're eating the right part of the asparagus. And then olive oil. Salt and pepper, however, again, if you've never made them, you heard Kim's advice relative to season, but always Kim would tell you season to taste. You know her. Does she like garlic? Does she not like garlic? Yada, yada, yada.
I have a little side thing.
No, hold on. So let me finish. The baked potato takes at least 60 seconds to wash it, dry it, oil and salt, and throw it in the oven, and then you're back, and then the other thing with this dinner in particular is that you know, the asparagus can go into the oven while the baked potato's in there, and you know, and you're not doing anything other than really grilling the steak. That's
right.
And so really it's a perfect meal because you're hanging out with her, right? Listening to music. Oh, hey, I've got a song too that you, okay, everybody write this down. Okay. Go to YouTube. Okay. And I want you to check out, Ed Sheeran. Okay. Now.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Sheeran's my boy. So, Colleen, Ed Sheeran sings a duet with Beyonce. I don't particularly care for Beyonce. I'm more of a Rihanna guy than a Beyonce guy. But anyway, so he sings a song called Perfect. Okay? Now, and so this is the song. I want to say it's number one in the U.S. and the United Kingdom right now.
Follow my lead. I found a girl.
Okay, now everybody, most people have heard that song, okay, that listen to pop music. You can't miss it. It gets played all the time. Okay, but I found a version for it, a different version. And so Andrea Bocelli sings a duet with him in this song in Italian.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, romance dance.
Well, yeah. Okay, so again, you can't put on Ted Nugent as much as you may like Ted Nugent, right? So, and I like Ted Nugent. He's American. He's a hunter. He's a guy. And so, Bocelli comes in here in a second. So they sing this duet. But it's, I heard it, right? And I'm not an opera guy. I don't really understand opera very much. But you hear his voice, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful song. And, but it's only, I only found it on YouTube. And I only did that because I was, Colleen was watching videos, and I saw it pop up. I was like, what's that? It's a different version of it. And so we listened to it, and I looked at her, and I said, that's beautiful. And she said, yeah, it is that. All right, now, here's Bocelli singing. This is his part of the duet with Sheeran.
L'amore che ci ha accompagnato diventi casa, la mia famiglia diventi noi e siamo sempre bambini. Ma
anyway, just a little bit. If you hurt for music, man, and I'm not an opera, but those two, and then Sheeran comes in and they sing harmonies together. And it's awesome. So Max music recommendation: put that thing on. She'll look at you and go, oh, really, really? What did you do? That's what you're going to get asked. What did you do? Nothing.
Yeah.
Why are you being so nice?
Yeah.
Why are you being so nice?
It's Valentine's Day, and I'm in love.
Exactly, I'm in love. Pumpkin, what do you think? What'd you do? You wrecked the car. You lost all of our money on the Super Bowl. What did you do? All right. So now that's three of the four courses, and they're all easy as hell. What's the fourth course?
Well, first of all, before I get to the fourth course,
okay,
I would like to recommend something you can do the day before. It's called a compound butter for your filet. And he sent you an article about the classic filet, and it has two compound butters. The compound butter I make has parsley, chives, oregano, rosemary, garlic, and it's chopped together. It's all chopped together as fine as you can chop it, and then you mix it with a half a pound of butter. You take that butter combination, throw it on a piece of Saran wrap that's large enough to where you can roll it into a log, and then you twist the ends to make it about the size of a silver dollar, and you squish it together, and you put it in the fridge the day before. All the flavors will get together. So when it's showtime, you take the filet, you open one end of that compound butter, and you slice about a quarter of an inch thick round of compound butter. You put it right on the steak. It melts down over the steak and will be the closer for you because you make, just ask, you know, what she likes. If she likes garlic, and everybody likes parsley, chives, but you don't need to put the garlic in. You don't need to do the rosemary or oregano if you don't want.
Yeah, we don't even know what those are.
That's the one I used for the restaurant. There are some other ones in that magazine that we sent you a picture this morning
right.
that you can post.
Okay. All right. So, but, so everybody can see, not too much effort to, in order to
not at all.
In order to crush it. In order to absolutely.
But it's a classic finish for your filet.
Oh. Yeah, no, you know, some people, I remember the first time I ever saw that, it was my father-in-law. He just threw a slab of butter on it. But you can do more with that butter, and it takes you at least 90 seconds, to whip it up.
Yeah.
And you might have to do it the day before. But
you want to do it the day before. Because you want that to sit up in the fridge and all those flavors of the herbs to get mixed in with the butter. And all you have to do is cut a slab, quarter of an inch or so round, and slap it on the filet, and when you're taking it, just before you take it to the table. And then there you have it.
Okay. All right. Easy.
And also, I might add that before you take the potato, you pooch it. That means you take from one end to the other, you cut a slit down the center of the baked potato, leaving about an inch on either end that is not cut. Then you, about 2 inches in, you take a cross cut, and then you take the ends and you push it together, and it pooches up, and so you have a receptacle for your butter, your sour cream, your chives, your bacon, so you can hold more stuff in the baked potato. And if you pooch that potato in front of her, I know she's never done it before, doesn't know about it, because usually it is cut it down the middle and that's it. But this is styling. We're styling today.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding me. Okay, now, so what's the fourth course?
The fourth course is something you can do the day before.
Okay.
You go out, you buy strawberries. Large strawberries.
Okay.
You melt some chocolate in a saucepan. Very low heat until it's melt. Your favorite chocolate bar, you go buy it.
Hershey's.
You go to a chocolate candy store.
No. Her favorite chocolate, because if we're getting my favorite, it's going to be Hershey's. If we're getting her favorite, it's probably something better than that.
Whatever it is, you get that, you melt it, and when it's melted, you take the strawberry, and if they're really beautiful strawberries, you try and keep the green on the end, and you fluff that up so she can hold that while she's eating her strawberry.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Can I go buy these?
Yes.
Because I don't want to make these.
Yeah.
Can I go
buy? Yeah, you can go buy them.
Can I go buy them?
Yeah, you can probably buy them at a candy store.
Candy store.
And
because
they have already
are strawberries aren't really in season this time of year, are they?
In California, they're year-round. And if they don't come from California, they come out of Mexico, but you can get great strawberries year round. But you want them chocolate dipped, because it's, and with that strawberry and dipped in chocolate, you want to pull out the closer, and that is a bottle of ice cold champagne.
Ooh.
And that's how you, champagne is a drink that is effervescent. It's also a very
what does that mean?
It has fizz to it, but it's also energized. It's a happy alcohol. It makes you fun and giddy and giggly. And there's no better way than to have strawberries dipped in chocolate with champagne. That's all I'm saying.
And, you know, the only reason you need the champagne is for just the ambiance of popping the cork. There's something magical about that. And I think it's a moment of happiness for everybody when a cork pops. I don't care if it's after the World Series. I don't care if it's at a party. You know, whenever the cork pops, everybody goes, "Hey!" It's a, you know, and that's a, and so even if you only drink a few sips,
absolutely, Mac.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Good call.
Yeah.
And that's the closing bell.
And so, even if you don't like champagne or you hate champagne, get a bottle and boom the cork, take a sip, put it aside, and go back to your Coors Light. It's all right. But
it's okay.
It's
whatever
okay.
you want to do.
It's okay.
But the theater of opening a bottle of champagne with strawberries, you might not know it, but she knows what's going on. And she appreciates this as much as the filet. Because it's the thought that you put into this that really is special. And you can buy a bottle of champagne for $20-$25. That's very good. It's not too dry. It does all the things that champagne does, but it's not going to break the bank.
Yeah. And so again, we're a user-friendly organization, okay? So what we tried to design for you is just a little bit of thought, right? You swing by. You might have to make two stops, one to the candy store, all right, and then go to a supermarket that has a florist inside. So that's a two for one, okay? You're getting her favorite flowers and then one rose, okay? So those are your two stops. You got the strawberries dipped in chocolate by a pro, right? So she'll like that. And everything else you get at the store, boom, you're on the way home, shrimp on a plate, cocktail sauce in the middle, set the table, flowers, vase, water, boom, cloth napkins, then the candles out there. That's done. Now you're like at least 15 minutes invested into it once you got home. All right, prepare the asparagus, prepare the baked potato, get the oven ready, and you're done. You're friggin' done.
And for the strawberries, you can have them on a plate in the fridge, so you just pull them out or leave them on the counter. If it's a cool, you don't want them sitting in the sun.
Yeah.
And then you pull that out too and serve it. There you go.
Okay, could you pass on a little bit of basic advice before I let you go here? About shrimp.
Yes.
I washed shrimp and it turned out horrible for me. When you're cleaning up shrimp, what do you do? Because I screwed that up.
Well, you're talking fresh shrimp. You bring it home. It has the shell.
No, mine was probably frozen for some period of time, I think.
Well.
I'm sorry.
They have frozen, pre-cooked shrimp with the tail on. You want the tail on so they can grab something to dip it in the cocktail sauce. And you want it to be kind of reddish. You want it to see it cooked. And if they're frozen, you bring them home. You buy them the day before. You don't buy them that morning. Or on the way home, because then you have to run water on them, and you might mess them up. So you bring them home, you put the frozen shrimp in the bag, leave them in the bag the night before. When you get home, you take them out of the bag, you rinse them, and put them in a strainer. You just rinse the liquid off them. And then you pat them dry with a paper towel and arrange them on the plate, put the cocktail sauce in a little dish in the middle with a slice of lemon wedge, and then you,
okay,
all
so,
you do is
okay,
you
so,
open the
okay, no, okay, so what did I screw up? How did my shrimp get so soggy? I didn't pat them dry?
Well, if they were frozen, Mac, and you didn't cook them, They were cooked, correct?
Yeah, at some point they were. I didn't do them. It was just...
Okay, well, the reason they got soggy is either you let them sit in water, or you ran water over them too much, and they got soaked, and you didn't pat them dry. Otherwise, they were bad shrimp.
Okay. So more than likely, I ran them in water, and I did not pat them dry, I'm thinking.
You have to pat them dry. Okay. Absolutely pat them dry. And also, try one. You know, after they're patted dry, bite into one for yourself to test drive it and make sure it has the flavor and the texture you want.
All right. Yes. All right. Let me read you an email. One of the things I've come to love about All Marine Radio, and I didn't at first, is Friday and the cooking segment. When you first did it, and I had just started listening, I used to shut it off. Now between your sense of humor and the good cooking advice that I get, I really do look forward to it. Thank you for the great idea for Valentine's Day. It's also cloaked in a man's perspective, which I also enjoy, because whenever you hear on TV women talking about Valentine's Day, it's never from a man's perspective.
That's right.
The chef crushed it today. Easy food, tastes great, not difficult to prepare, and the idea of strawberries and champagne. Look, I don't really like that shit, but she sure is. She sure
exactly.
Is.
Exactly. Excuse me, Mac. That's your word. But that's what hits him.
She sure as hell does. And you're right, Mac. I hate champagne. But when that cork comes out and hits the ceiling, there is a moment of jubilation there, and she'll love it. So thank you for making me a better human being today, along with making me laugh.
Well, it's our pleasure. And thank you for the nice words.
Hold on, there's a P.S. P.S., I also appreciate your comments relative to wine, because I'm not a wine snob either. And there's certain wines that I like, and I don't like, you know, some guy recommending a wine, and then it comes and it sucks, when I could have had my favorite, my go-to. So I will not hesitate from getting my go-to, no matter what they serve me, because that's what I like. Screw the wine snobs. Happy Valentine's Day. Thanks for the advice. I love All Marine Radio.
That's great.
Have a great weekend, boys.
That is my Valentine's Day.
Well, you know, again, it's guy centric advice, okay? If you're a woman, though, you could use the same plan. It works on us.
It works big time on us.
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of wine, you might run the gamut of beers or have a cocktail first, you know. It's what do you like? What tickles your fancy? And I've been in places where the wine guy will come over and he'll try and upsell me when I want a $15 bottle of wine and he wants me to buy a $50 bottle of wine. Fuck that.
Come on, man.
You order what you want to order. You know what you like. He doesn't,
right,
or she doesn't, so.
No,
play that game.
I'm with you. Here's another email. Could you go over what you do with asparagus one more time?
Okay.
Maestro?
Well, yes. Max.
Hold on.
Something.
It's pretty complicated, so get ready.
Okay. You suggested something at the end about putting it in the oven with the baked potato.
Uh-oh.
Well, if you do that, you have the baked potato on the tray, you put another little tray, and you can use these aluminum trays that you get at the dollar store. so you're not spending a lot of money, and you throw them away when you're done.
Whoa, throw them away.
Now, you take a handful of asparagus. You rinse them. You pat them dry. You cut the white end off up to where it's the green. It's usually about 2 inches or so, maybe. Depends on how big the asparagus is. I like larger asparagus. That's just me. Some people like the pencil sticks, but they cook unbelievably fast. So we'll say a medium to a large asparagus here.
Okay.
And you have a little in that tray, you put however many asparagus spears you want. You put a little olive oil over them, and you toss them in that olive oil. And then you add fresh cracked black pepper, and just, we're not going to do salt because the cheese, the Parmesan cheese is salty. Now, right when the baked potato is pulled out of the oven, you put the asparagus in the oven, and you run it for maybe a minute in the oven, because the oven's going to be 450 degrees, a minute, no more than 2 minutes, then you pull them out, and then you'll plate them.
And, so we're only going to cook the asparagus for 3 minutes?
2 to 3 minutes. Look, it depends on the thickness of it.
Yeah.
But the smaller the spears, the shorter cooking time.
Okay, so I like a little bit of black on mine. I like just a little bit of black. When I see them turning a little bit black, then they come out. That's how I do it.
Okay. Then I recommend you cooking them on top of the stove in a skillet.
What?
And oil them.
No, you're confusing it. So, okay, so it's olive oil, and then we're going to toss the asparagus, and then we're going to put pepper on them, and then when does the cheese go on? Then you pull it out, and then you sprinkle the Parmesan once you pull it out?
You sprinkle the Parmesan once you plate them.
Oh, plate them. Okay, got it. Easier than I thought?
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
All right.
And then you have three grated Parmesan. And then you plate it. All this grating of cheese can be done. The prepping of the asparagus can be done before the party starts.
Right. Remember, and it's
then it's just putting stuff in the oven, pulling it out of the oven, cooking the steak on the grill or on the stovetop.
Easy day.
Can I give you another tip if you're going to cook the steak on the stovetop? I use a cast iron skillet, and I oil the fillet. I do not put oil in the cast iron skillet. I let it get as hot, you know, you sit it on that burner, let it get hot, and then when you put the, have your vent on, when you put the steak on the skillet, it's going to smoke. Don't be terrified. But the reason it won't splatter a lot is because there's not grease in the pan, oil in the pan. So there's only oil on the steak. And then, you flip when it's halfway cooked, anywhere from 4 to 6 minutes. And then you flip it. And then I like to take a pair of tongs and kind of roll the steak on its side, so you kind of cook the side, get the side a little bit crispy, and then you don't have to do it for long, and then you plate it, and there you go.
Easy day. That's why he's the All Marine Radio head chef. All right, man. Have a great weekend. Thank you for all the great Valentine's advice. So you're the man.
And happy Valentine's Day to all you Marines. And thank you very much for your service.
Wow. Listen to you. All right, bud. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
There you have it. The All Marine Radio Head Chef. Doing good stuff. the Gunner joins us next. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.